the strokes the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing. Grab your mind, yeah. Woo!
Welcome to episode number 12A. The letter after it. Jason Miller here along with Matt Shenander. I say that because we are literally within an hour, hour and a half following West Branch's 49-22 first round Class 1A playoff victory. So, here's how the schedule works. First round, Wednesday night, which it is right now at exactly 10:45 p.m. Again, fresh off the game. Next game, Matt, Monday night. So, what we're going to do for you, you're going to get a literal potpourri of Talking Bear Football, the podcast here on WestBranchFootball.com, powered by Hoot Project. Matt, first thoughts, West Branch 49, Sigourney Kyoto 22.
That was a tough game defensively for the Bears. I thought they would, you know, I thought Sigourney would score, which obviously they did, but I didn't think they would score that much because I thought the Bear defense would really, for lack of a better term, bear down and figure out exactly how to stop that Sigourney Kyoto offense in that running game and that strange spinner back and those strange plays that they run. It's hard to tell who has the ball. And for, you know, a good majority of the night, the Bears did a good job stopping it, but I think, as you alluded to in our last episode, there's going to be plays where you just can't stop it and they're going to get away. And you don't make tackles, they're going to bust some big gains, and they certainly did that tonight.
We mentioned Peyton Crawford. I have no idea his actual statistics. I'm going to guess he had somewhere in the vicinity of 150 to 200 yards rushing. Kid runs like a truck. Runs low to the ground, much like his running back counterpart in this game, Luke Lennock, who we'll get to his stats later. But Crawford started off the game very, very slow. The Bears defense did their job and did it well. The first two series, West Branch gets up 14-0, has a chance running down the field, a couple penalties, bring the ball back, punt the ball, Sigourney Kyoto then comes right down the field and scores on the Bears. Crawford takes it down the left sidelines as we're looking left to right from the press box. Takes it down the east sidelines into the southeast corner.
He goes over there.
Over there. Runs back over here into the southeast corner for about a 35-yard touchdown. When he gets rolling, he's pretty darn quick.
He's really difficult to stop. So I'm glad that for a good majority of the night, as I said, the Bears were able to stop him and that we don't have to worry about him anymore.
And that kid does everything but sell popcorn. I mean, he punts.
And he's a great punter. Yeah.
I mean,
great kicker.
You look out at their jerseys. Looked out the Cobra jerseys of the third quarter. 11 guys on the field, of course. Otherwise, they'd be cheating if there were 12 or more.
Or 10, and, apparently.
Or 10. It wouldn't be. Yeah, apparently you cheat in West Branch. You get a penalty flag with 10 guys on the field. West Branch got called for that.
Called back.
Crawford.
Specify.
Was the only. Look out there. His jersey was just painted with just absolutely caked with dirt, because you know the kids, they're all working hard, but for some reason he's working a little bit harder. But it's going to be nice to not see that kid at least the rest of the year this year. Might be around for next year.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But 49-22, here's some statistics that we have off the cuff. Don't have this official statistics in front of us, but luckily we kind of keep our finger on the pulse throughout the game, Matthew.
We wouldn't do that.
No, we wouldn't. But tonight, for some reason,
at least
we were tapping on it. Maybe it wasn't sticking on the pulse, but it was at least being tapped. Running back Luke Lennock had 25 carries tonight, and he had 303 rushing yards, which ties for the fourth most rushing yards in the history of West Branch football. Cole Kelly, Bellevue, first-round playoff game 2009, by the way, on 33 carries. But Lennock, 303-yard carries, Matt. That puts him at how many for the season total yards?
1974-ish?
Yeah.
Something around there. Which
72,
is,
74, somewhere in there.
Regardless, it's second place.
Which passes. Tonight he passed two running backs. Before the game, he was in fifth all-time. Fourth would have been Kevin Stout at 1699. Okay. Luke had 1669 coming into the game. Third, Jordan Thompson, 2008 with 1965. Third, Cade Jones at 1868 or 67.
67.
In 2012.
Yeah.
Jordan Thompson, sorry, in second, 1965, 2008. Didn't take that record long to be broken, like a whole year. Cole Kelly, 1,994 yards that year in 13 games. Luke Lenock, in 10 games, has 1,972 yards. I've got a feeling, knocking on wood, you give him a couple healthy carries in the next game, whoever it's going to be against, mm-hmm. because that'll be episode 12B.
At the time we're recording this, we don't know.
We have no idea. We're looking about an hour, hour and a half away, maybe two. They say 1 o'clock, which is 2 hours and 9 minutes from this very moment before the pairings, approximately one in the morning. So,
I'm not staying up that late.
No, I am, unfortunately, because I'm a glutton for punishment. I say it again. But by the time you hear this, you'll know who the Bears play. And coming on Friday night, we'll have some more chit chat about that. But Matt, 303 yards, it's a great thing. The Bears put up a little over 540 yards. I think it was 546 of total offense, third most yards in the history of West Branch football that we have on record. Lucas Lamont, 8 out of 13, 145 passing yards, one touchdown. Most of that, Mason Hayes, 4 receptions, 68 yards, and a 46-yard touchdown, Matt, in the fourth quarter.
Lamont just, he continued his dominance from last week where he was a perfect 9 for 9.
Hit an interception tonight, though.
Yeah, unfortunately that was on a good Bears drive. And he threw that pick, and that's all right. We'll let it slide. But he just, I think it was in, I can't remember, it was a third or fourth quarter, he just had a beautiful touch pass to Mason Hayes, who caught it probably about the, 35 yard line, and just used the speed to outrun the Sigourney Kyoto defenders and go in for a touchdown. And that, it was just a really, really nice pass. And Mason made a good catch and, as I said, used the speed to get down the field and score. His passes, for the most part, were pretty accurate tonight, just except for that one interception. And he did have a good pass to Cooper Cobble in the end zone, unfortunately dropped it. Which would have been a second touchdown, but that's all right. You know, all in all, he had a really, really good night.
And kind of riding that train here for a little bit, do you have quick stats up right in front of you right now?
I do not.
Pull that up. I think Lamont had 1,425 coming into this game, 1,425 yards passing on the season, if memory serves. If that is correct, that would put him at 1,570 yards, give or take. Was I right on that number? 1,425?
1,487 is what I'm seeing right now.
Total.
I think that was through the last game, even though our stats are in for this game. He had 142.
Tonight.
Yeah, so I don't know if...
Because he had over 1,400 yards.
Yeah, he has 1,487 total.
Right now.
Right now. Through this game.
Through 10 games.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got 1,487, which puts him, if my math is correct, 32 yards behind what he had last year in 10 games. 1,519, I believe, was his total, which is the second most in school history, behind Caleb Walters, 1,620 yards. So there's a good shot that he's going to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Individual records are great. They really are, Matt. But on the other hand, when you have individual records, that's a reflection of the team. Luke Lenock is the first one to tell you. And we're going to speak with some of his offensive linemen coming up here in a little bit. We actually already spoke with them, and we're going to play a little excerpt from that with Jacob Giese, Matt McElrath, and Drew Finnegan. We'll tell you about, hey, they feel like they're a part of that record because, you know, the point of attack is where it starts.
I think Drew takes credit for it.
That's what he did say. And you guys are going to get the pleasure of hearing that interview right now. Fresh off of West Branch 49-22 victory, we're sitting here with Bear football players, senior Jacob Giese, senior Matt McElrath, and junior Drew Finnegan. Giese, we'll start with you first because, you know, McElrath always steals the microphone when he has the opportunity. So you first, it's your first playoff game in a West Branch jersey and a victory, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I would not want to be anywhere else right now than with these guys. I mean, family, just the family atmosphere and stuff, and just it feels that much better just with the victory.
Matt,
from what you guys saw on film, what the Bears saw on film of Zigger and Ikeota, what you saw, is that what you got from them, or were they hit a lot harder than you expected?
For the most part, I think they stuck to what they had previously. They tricked us a couple of times. They switched things up a little bit and messed up particularly the linebackers a little bit. But, you know, we caught on. We started out in a defense that could have worked, but, you know, we made some adjustments that made it a lot easier on everyone.
And then, Drew, with you, you know, as linebackers, man's talking about some of the adjustments you got to make. It's already a semi-confusing offense at times. But some of the things that they started in the first half, Sigourney and Ikeota, was getting some big chunks of yards. So what were some of the things that were said at halftime that you made changes?
We started down a defense that wasn't working, so we switched to a different defense, like Matt said. And I think we got a little bit confused in the first half as well. We might have peeked in the backfield a few times and lost the ball. But we made adjustments at halftime and worked out from there, got us a victory in the second round.
And Drew, then we'll go down the line here again. Team had 546 yards of total offense, which is the third highest total in school's history. Running back Luke Lenock, 303 yards on 25 carries. He's the only running back in the school's history to ever have two 300-yard games. You guys are three-fifths of a big part of why that happens, being the offensive line. So do you sort of – you take credit for that, right?
I mean, I take a little bit of credit. I won't take all of it from Luke, but, I mean, he's a beast, and it's fun blocking for him because you never know when he's going to break something big and make you look really good then.
And 49 points against a team that really tries to control the clock. 49 points up against a team that has only a couple times given up that many this year. The offense, again, 546 yards, man. Pretty good click.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Hey, your buddy Lamont threw for 150 also. So.
I mean, yeah, we had a wide variety of plays going on. I mean, some things weren't working. We talked to Jared about what we needed to do to make them work, and we did that. I guess that's just what you have to do against teams like this.
Well, I mean, and Jake, there's also some things that are going on the line that people don't see. People in the stands don't see or hear things that you're doing, which, of course, don't give away the trade secrets here, but just some of the calls that you guys have to make holes open up. Last-second calls. Say, hey, we got to do this. So we've got to move here. We got to move there.
I mean, yeah, you just got to have that almost football smarts to figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to block it. And, like, Drew over here, he's right next to me on the offensive line. We'll talk, play to play, and just figure out what we're going to do. And then Matt's got to voice his opinion once in a while, too.
As he hits Easy's knee under the table. Don't talk.
10 wins, 0 losses, 1-0 in the playoffs, fellas. Moving on to the second round. For your initial thoughts on, you have no idea who your next opponent is, but what's that make you feel? Completely different feeling for you two guys, Drew and Matt, from last year. Jake, you had a taste of the second round last year. But for West Branch, it's been a couple of years. So how's that make you feel to know that we're moving on?
I mean, last year, we were happy to make the playoffs. We knew we weren't as good as we had been in previous years. So, I mean, that was an accomplishment in itself. But, you know, going into the playoffs this year is just completely different because we expect so much out of ourselves. And, I mean, we had a feeling we could make it past the first round. So, I mean, that's just how we feel about every round. We don't think there's any team out there that is better than us. You know, we can hang with anyone. So.
And that's not to say you're doing any bulletin board material here, Drew, but it's just the confidence that you got to have, a little bit of, as you kids call it, swag.
Yeah.
You got swag, Drew. I mean,
I know.
Every time you make
swag.
A tackle, you almost try to steal Geesey's Superman belt.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like we said, it was expected for us to win this game for sure and go on to the second round. As of not ever playing in the second round, I've been around the program a long time, and it doesn't feel like I've never played in the second round before because I've been there. I mean, me and Matt, ball boy in the dome, my brother's senior year, and it felt like we were there too. It definitely doesn't feel like it's my first second round playoff game.
And then finally, Jake, you mentioned there'd be no other place you'd rather be to play your games with than these guys. You had a lot of your friends from your old school at the game tonight. Kind of neat to have them still support you regardless of what decision was made. They're still your friends, and they came over to support the Bears in this game. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to know that, yeah, I came over here from over Wilton and just still have all that support from that town. And it's a nice feeling just to know that still people support me.
It's always fun to talk to those kids. We've never done that.
No.
Well, let's just say it. Here's how it happened. We walk in. Dave McElrath, father of Matt McElrath.
Oh, really?
Red Buffalo Tree Service is going to be a new sponsor of the program. Thank you for that. But he said, why don't you put these kids in there? Let's interview them now. We've never done that before. We said,
why the heck not?
Yep.
And we asked the kids, of course, thankfully they obliged our interview request because, you know, kids love to do that. They never get asked questions.
No.
But the only questions they've been asking the last 3 or 4 days, they've had the same interview about the same thing, basically talking about the success of the running attack for the Bears.
Yeah.
They talked with the press citizen about Luke's performance, and, you know, he deserves all the accolades that he gets for the yards he carries, but the carries that he makes and gets all these yards. But his first thing would be to say what, Matt?
He wouldn't be able to do it without his offensive line.
That's what a good running back says. And that's exactly what he says in his interview. If you haven't had the chance to read it, Matt has so graciously linked it to westbranchfootball.com.
I think he should be buying his offensive line some pizzas tonight.
Yeah, well, he can't afford the iPads or whatever that Marsh, somebody in the NFL. Oh, DeMarcus, your buddy.
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray, Matt's fantasy running back. He of 8 games for the Cowboys, 8 100-yard rushing games this year, which hasn't been done, like, ever.
Never, ever.
And, you know, he's on track to catch
up. Well, at least in the NFL, I think Luke's
never,
had.
Ever, ever,
I think
ever.
Luke has had 10, 100-plus yards.
He's on his way to catch up to all day. That single-season rushing record's coming up. But I think that, you know, the interview they have that's going to be with the – excuse me, Susan Harmon's interview was with the Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
The Iowa City Press Citizen interview was on Tuesday night. Ryan Merkin was in West Branch for the pregame practice and spoke with all the linemen, took a neat picture with the backfield with Kindon, Lenock, and Lamont. Sorry, by the way, for the one time I made a mistake and said Lenock was kicking off when it was actually Lamont. Dan Hayes, you win. If you had won, you win. So, but I think it's a neat thing to hear these linemen. They take credit for it, but they're so... It's just always so humble.
Yeah.
Linemen are always humble.
Yep.
So, neat offensive performance tonight for the Bears. Neat as in victory. That's the key thing. They got some things they need to shore up. Coach Peterson talked about how he was really happy with the offense. He was disappointed in a couple of things. One might not surprise you, but at the level he took it kind of caught me off guard. But you know what? So be it. And here's what he had to say right after the game we interviewed him. Here it is.
We are literally fresh off West Branch's 49-22 victory. Live here with Coach Peterson, Matt Shenander, along with Jason Miller. Coach Peterson, congratulations on the school's 35th playoff victory and the first one in 2014.
Well, thank you very much, and I think the thing that's gratifying to me is the kids fought through a lot of adversity tonight, things that were kind of out of our control. They had... 2 penalties and we had 12, but we fought through that adversity and we won the football game, and that meant a lot to me, and it gives us win number 10, which is double digits, and also puts us into November because we're a November football team, and we're, you know, that's what we've always tried to do, build this program, is get the playoff and get to play in November, and we're going to do that.
546 yards of total offense, which is the third highest total in the history of the football program. Offensively, the team was really clicking this evening in West Branch.
Offense played extremely well. I thought the defense played well at times, but I thought that they were crucified, quite frankly, on a couple of really questionable calls on pass interference. And I don't want to make a big deal about it because I don't like to blame officials, but they were pathetic. They did not do a very good job, and I'm very upset about that. And but it's over with, and we can learn from that. We can watch the tapes, and we can find ways to get better. And that's what we have to do now because it's over with.
Some interesting statistics tonight. Running back Luke Lenock, 303 yards rushing. He's the first running back in the history of West Branch schools to have 2 300-yard rushing games in his career, let alone in a season. Offensive line continues to do a great job for you, Coach, up front.
We've been that way all year long, and we're still diversified because we threw the ball. They start putting a lot of people in the box.
Yards.
We have 143 yards passing, and we played this game without our leading receiver in Matt Shaver, and he'll be back next week. And everybody got through this game unscathed, so we're in pretty good shape health-wise, and we're excited to advance and play Monday night back here at West Branch.
You know, the key is getting a victory, and you mentioned some things you need to shore up. What are some of the things you're going to tell the kids? Of course, you want them to – it's got a wash off they get tonight, because tomorrow you only have three or four games prepared for your next opponent. What are some of those things you're going to tell the kids?
Normally this team tackles very well. I didn't think we tackled very well tonight. We got to be a lot crisper. We got to lock up. We were used to going for killer shots on some of the opponents that we played, and I told the defense afterwards, I said, you know, you can't do that against the better football teams that you're going to see now. You really got to use good form tackling, get your shoulder pads on people, lock people up and drive them to the ground, and we didn't do that tonight. And they have good hard backs. They ran hard, and you know, we tried to put our second team in late. We gave them a couple touchdowns and did a lot better job, I think, in the second half and then on defense. And then we put our second team in, and they left their first team in and got a touchdown, and that's their decision to make. But I was a lot more happy with the defense in the second half, and I thought the offense played well the entire game.
Playoff time. You talked about being a November football team. This team has been there before, been there, done that. So there's really nothing that's going to sneak up on you as a coach or your staff. So what about Sigourney Kyoto as a program, by the way, would you like to say, you know, to kind of give them some credo? What a storied program. It's kind of strange that these two schools are this close together and never really played before the last couple seasons.
They play a very good football game. They're a very classy organization. Their coach is a good young coach. He does a good job. And, I mean, they were a formidable task. I mean, they played hard and they did a good job. And so we need to, you know, figure out our mistakes and get better from what we did. But Sigourney Kyoto has every right to be proud of their season this year. Those kids played hard. And a majority of their players are back. There are a lot of underclassmen on that team, so they're going to have a lot of people back.
10 wins, and you're a November football team. So when you think about putting those two things together, what's the next step, or what do you think in your mind?
Well, obviously, it's one and done here, so we have to make sure on game number two that we go out and we play better than we did tonight, especially on defense. The defense has been pretty salty all year long, and I think we will. I think we need to shore up our special teams a little bit as well and continue to add some wrinkles on offense, and I think that we'll do just that.
And finally, what a great crowd tonight, Coach. They were not just the West Branch people, but there were people from all over different schools. And there was a big crowd of assistant coach Kelly Zunica's friends from Columbus Junction, and the Conesville Mafia were in the house. A good crowd of friends of Jacob Geese from Wilton and Tipton and many other schools.
The referees from last week's game also came.
I saw them on the we were getting coming on the field. I was glad that they were there and support us, and they do a good job, and they're an excellent crew. That official crew is very, very good. Russell Omar's crew is tremendous.
But what a great thing. I mean, I think it usually brings out a few more fans when you get to the postseason, but it was a great crowd tonight, Coach.
Oh, I was proud of the crowd, and they got into it a little bit when we were being a little bit concerned about some of the calls. Our fans got extremely excited and got behind the kids, and that was very important.
Moving on, one more game, Coach, at least one more game, and it's at home next Monday night in West Branch, so that's got to give you a little bit of energy as you go forward.
Oh, absolutely. We're excited about that. You win a district championship, you get these benefits, and that benefit, again, is we're going to be home again, so that's an outstanding thing. And I don't know who we're going to play yet. I've got my ideas, but we'll wait a little while until that comes out for sure.
Well, have a great week. Short week of practice till next Monday night. It's only 4 days away.
Yeah, it's not a lot of time, but we've done this before, and we know what we're doing, and the kids know what they're doing, so we'll be able to adjust and get these things taken care of.
Perhaps Coach Peterson's only stat that he remembers, 49-22, is not the one he remembers. He remembers two stats. A, the Bears won, so that makes them
1-0 this week.
1-0 this week.
Yep.
And he remembers 12-2, the other stat. The West Branch Bears did not win that penalty stat. And he wants to make sure that, you know, when you see a differential of 10, am I saying that the Bears are clean on every play? Of course
Absolutely not.
I remember one play specifically. There was a holding penalty on the defense, on West Branch on defense. Matt Shenander was calling that play as soon as a snap almost. He's like, that's holding.
Yep.
And then finally they threw a flag really late.
Yeah.
So that one, I think, was earned. There were some other things. There was a 13th penalty called on the Bears that was wiped off. thought they had 12 on the field when they only had 10. So the officials, not only were they, I don't know, there was a little disparity there from 12 to 2, but one of them didn't really count real well.
And then the very next play was a touchdown. Was that Mason Hayes'
touchdown?
That was
Mason Hayes' touchdown. Apropos. Yeah. Yeah. Purple Hayes was playing on the speakers. The three goggles were out. Yeah. And you know.
You know, one more neat thing tonight was that Luke Lenock, jeez.
It's not Lenock and Selig.
I know.
Not an advertisement for them.
I know. Luke Lenock, just real quick, one more thing. He Tonight he had over 300 yards, as we mentioned. He's the only player in school history to have two 300-plus yard games in a career.
Let alone in a season.
In a season.
This year.
Yeah, no one else has ever done that.
No.
So I just wanted to make that note real quick.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Of all the great backs West Branch has had, he's the only one. You go back to think about with Sean McCarty, and then Kevin Braddock, and then Kevin Tigger Stout, mm-hmm. who had the rushing yardage record, as I mentioned earlier, season until Jordan Thompson broke that in 2008. That's 16 years between, you know, till someone broke that record. Yeah. But a lot of those games when they were playing them, they were done at halftime. There was a 50-point rule. Those cats, those were some
pretty good.
I mean, that's why they won the state championship. They were really, really good.
Yeah.
So, wrapping this one up a little bit, Matt, before we get into part two of this podcast, probably going to be on Friday. Tonight, we'll find out here in an hour or two who the Bears play. Hopefully, you're going to have this up before that happens, and you can kind of listen to this a little bit. But wrapping this one up, putting it under the tree a little bit, Matt. Always good to get a playoff victory, and the Bears are going to play November football.
And at home.
And they are at home.
Yep.
10 victories. When was the last time the Bears had 10 victories, Matt?
2010?
Yes. That, my friend, is correct.
Thank you.
That is correct. And if the Bears, which means, when was the last time the Bears were 10 victories and zero losses at one point in the season?
2009. 2010. All right.
Yes. So you could have, she should have just kept with it. You were on a roll. You were so on a roll there, one in a row.
I know.
1-0. You were going there for a while. You went 1-1 on that one.
You know, if you get one, they call it a streak.
They call it a streak. You get two, they call it an accident.
Yep.
At any rate, Matt, kind of fun. We did this sort of off the cuff a little like we always do, but never have had a podcast 2 hours after a game is over and had interviews with a coach. And three players before, the way we've done this, I'd like to do this a little bit more often. But the way this is set up, we don't have a choice.
It's almost like a thing that your brother does for Hawkeye Nation, the Instant Reaction
Instant Reaction
podcast.
John Miller, HawkeyeNation.com, by the way. But yeah, this is our instant reaction. My instant reaction is the Bears won 49-22. It was a strong offensive performance.
That's right. They did. Yeah.
They did win. Yeah. Defensively, they got some things they need to shore up, and I think they will. Going to see a completely different beast the next game because nobody does on offense what Sigourney Kyoto does.
So real quick here, Jay, just for speculation's sake, who do you think will play?
Well, before we got over here to the studio to chat about this, I was putting a lot of things on paper. It's going to be one of three teams. The one that's least likely is Central Decatur Leon.
I don't think I want to play them.
They are a three seed that just knocked off a number one seed Van Meter last week in week 9, knocked off the number two seed in District 6, that's Regina's district. Regina beat 63-14 last in week 9. They just smoked them tonight. Pella Christian got smoked tonight. No offense to the Eagles, but that's just what happened. They got smoked by a three seed at home, no less. So CDL is about 195 miles away from West Branch, which doesn't seem very likely. These are the only three teams that are within them that are not number one seeds. That's one thing I know. Yep. West Branch will not play another number one seed. So that throws seven teams out of the other 15 teams out. And another four teams are almost in a complete different time zone. So the Bears aren't going to play them. So you throw away Central Leon, I think, because that's a little bit too far for either West Branch or Regina for them to drive. It comes down to two teams. Dak New Hartford, who I've pretty much had on the top of the list for this round for 3-4 weeks.
Outside of Pella Christian.
But Dyke would be the betting favorite on that anyway, but we don't gamble on high school football or anything. High school sports.
I think that's illegal.
It's illegal. But Dyke New Hartford, more than likely, I see them now going to Regina. North Cedar might be the new dark horse. But I'm going to stick to the original guns. Dyke New Hartford at West Branch, North Cedar at Iowa City, Regina. That's where I'm at right now, Dyke New Hartford. Bears played them in the Unidome. Back in the day, in 2011, no, excuse me, it was 2010, when Cade Jones was just a wee little sophomore. He had two touchdown runs that day for over 55. He had a 62 and a 55-yard touchdown run, two big runs as a sophomore up there. Put his stamp on the West Branch offense that it was going to be his ball to carry for the next couple of years, he and Bo Bauer, Iowa Hawkeye.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be Dyke New Hartford, Matt.
We'll find out soon.
And you're going to find out by listening to the West Brent talking about Hawkeye.
Okay.
But what you were going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that I think, I don't know, it's getting nervous. Like the nerves are setting in now because we're going against, I mean, really good teams.
Yeah.
And no offense to the other opponents that West Branch played, but I think North Cedar is really the big, true test we've had all year.
I think Dyke New Hartford proved perhaps that. Dyke New Hartford beat Bellevue 42-7 tonight.
Yeah.
West Branch beat him 38-7.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a comparative score. I mean, they've had six games since we've played Bellevue.
Yeah.
And West Branch is a completely different football team than the one, I think, than the one. I mean, the kids are the same, obviously, so it's not that different. But performance-wise, they're driving a Corvette when they were driving a Cadillac before. I mean,
I would take the Cadillac.
Oh, that Dyna ride was something else, wasn't it, back in the day?
Sure. I don't know.
Speaking of what, you've been on this Dyna ride, this Cadillac ride here tonight, episode 12A, 12B coming Friday night.
Here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
Powered by Hoot Project. Take care, everyone.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Gotta have more bell.
You know, every time I hear that song now, all I can hear is the dee, 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 dee.
Yeah.
And right in the beginning.
Dr. Harper's probably thinking, gotta have more Bellevue if they're winning 42-7. But
Hey, I see what you did there.
Yeah. No offense comments, just throwing it out there. But as promised, episode 12B.
B.
As in Bears.
Yeah.
Second episode. Same game in mind, we now know who the Bears are playing, and pretty much everyone out there knows Dyke New Hartford. Matt and I sort of assumed that would be the case when we spoke to you last on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I think they announced it like 2 minutes after we put up the last episode.
Well, you know, timing is everything in this business.
It really is, and I had to be at work early, and I couldn't stay up any longer.
I know. So make note, Matt Chenander is not willing to go the extra mile. For the first time in his life, but I can guarantee you he's going to make up for it many, many, many times over as we're going forward on Talking Bear Football, powered by Hoot Project, and specifically Papa Bear Football Podcast.
Thank you.
On westbranchfootball.com.
Yes.
Just go to that website and see the numerous, innumerable, I should say, things that that Matt will put on that website, not just from a statistical from a roster, from a schedule, from the basic thing standpoint, he goes out and searches the internet. If there's a publication online that puts any sort of article or anything that goes that is about West Branch football, he links it to the website.
Yes.
Yes, he does. Yes. Oh, he's not the best color business in the world for nothing, folks.
Color guy in the business?
No. Color business guy, folks.
Oh, you know, okay, yeah.
Color business and the guy.
Right.
Okay, what's not? So Dyke New Hartford comes into this game with a record of 8 wins, 2 losses. West Branch, of course, 10 wins, 0 losses. 10-0 every week. 1-0 every week.
9
times over. I'm beginning to like a someone that's never done this before.
In the latest West Branch Times release, edition? I don't know what.
Because it's a special.
What is it called?
It's a special article out just for this game, right?
They put out an article yesterday about the Albernette game, and I think it said the Bears go 1-0 each week 9 times.
Ah!
And I wonder where Greg Norfleet got the idea for that title from. I know he listens to the show.
Well, let's be honest.
When I was reading the article, I was waiting for any type of title credit.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any. So, Greg, I know you're listening. Next time, you gotta credit us.
Royalties, pal.
Yeah.
Well,
but he's given us photos, so I think it's all right.
Yeah, it is.
This one time, we'll let him slide.
Slipping in. You're lucky. So 10 wins, 0 losses versus 8-2 Dyke New Hartford. Their 2 losses. In the second game of the season, Dyke New Hartford lost to Class A. I'm going to say top five. I'm not going to look at their rankings. Top five, top eight ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck, who's had some success over the past 5 to 8 seasons. 49-25 was the score. Gladbrook Rhinebeck over Dyke New Hartford. Gladbrook Rhinebeck lost their first game to LaPorte City Union, who's a 2A school. Again, a very strong program over the last few years. Well, they started a 9-game winning streak with Dyke New Hartford, Matt. 9 games in a row, they're still going. And the lowest amount of points they scored in that was 38. The most they gave up was 27. Every other game besides that 27, they either shut a team out or held them to single digits. So what I'm saying is Dyke New Hartford's first loss was to a very, very good football team. Their second loss came in the 7th game of the season against the second-ranked team in the state, the district champion in District 4A, the district that Dyke New Hartford was the 2 seed. That score, at home, they lost to Southwind 28-19. Close game. So what we're saying here is this is not your mama's low-ranked team. This is a good football team that West Branch is going to play.
And I think this team is very similar to West Branch. You know, they're big, strong, physical team, and they're just gonna run it up the middle. You know, nothing too flashy, nothing tricky like Sigourney Kyoto. You know, no special kind of try and fool you plays. It's just straight up hard nosed football, pretty much like what West Branch does and has been doing for decades.
Well, here's how it sits. Again, Dyke New Hartford comes into this game 8-2. They defeated, team known as Bellevue. No disrespect to the Comets, but we know a little bit about Bellevue, don't we, Matt?
I think so.
Week 4 was that, or week 5? I believe at week 5 it was at the historic Little Rose Bowl at Oliphant Street Field. 38-7 was the final. West Branch was ahead 14-7 at halftime, reeled off 24 points in the second half, including a 31-yard Devin Kinden field goal to get it up to 38. 38-7 was the final. That was in week 5. The final score, Dyke New Hartford over Bellevue, 42-7. They were losing 7-0 on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. 42 unanswered point. This is a high octane offense led by quarterback Connor McCleary. He's actually stepped in for an injured Jacob Moore. Jacob Moore started the season as the quarterback. Connor McCleary is now the signal caller, key signal caller, was 6 of 10 against Bellevue on Wednesday night for 126 yards and one touchdown, that being a 59-yard pass to senior Preston Wheat. He had 2 catches for 62. But toting the mail, very, very similar, a sophomore. West Branch running back, a sophomore. Trent Johnson from Dyke New Hartford, the Wolverine tailback, has 176 rushing attempts, 1,612 yards. That's 9.2 yards a carry and 24 touchdowns. Luke Lenock, 9.3 yards a carry, 29 touchdowns. Also a sophomore. Has around 30 more carries. So you give this Johnson kid 30 more carries, these guys are mirror images of one another.
I think this is another example of how these two teams are very similar in what they do. You know, I think the advantage that West Branch that we're going to have is that, you know, if they are able to end up stopping us on the run, you know, we can go through the air. How are they looking as far as the aerial attack goes?
Quarterback Jacob Moore, as I mentioned, was the quarterback. 54 out of 101, 635 for the season. Connor McCleary, looks like it was only his second start. 18 out of 36 on the season. Actually, maybe his third start. I take that back. 316 yards, 3 touchdowns to 2 interceptions.
Right, so they're not passing it much.
No, about 100 yards a game.
2-3 games.
You think about that, they've got 960 total on the season in 10 games, Matt. Mm-hmm. That's about 100 yards.
Yeah.
So, to answer that question.
But with the current quarterback.
With the current quarterback, they're throwing it around 10 to 12 times a game.
Yeah.
Which is not too dissimilar from
definitely
West Branch.
No, yeah, and depending on how, you know, I think for West Branch, each night is a little different in terms of how much we pass. especially, you know, whether the clock's running or, you know, how quickly we score, how quickly we go up and down the field. You know, just I think it was the Albernette game. 9-for-9 passing was Lamont, and that was just in the first half, and I don't think we threw the ball the second half at all. And then you look at some other games where Lamont's thrown over 20 passes. So it's I see that these two teams are very, very similar, and I think that can be a West Branch advantage just from the aspect of, okay, well, if we can't run the ball, then we certainly can throw it. Yeah. If they key in on Luke, we can give it to Devin Kindon or throw it to Sam Assemeyer, Mason Hayes, and hopefully Matt Shauver's back too.
Showtime, Shauver.
Showtime. But I think, especially if Dyke has that second string quarterback in, I think trying to, or at least relying on some sort of backup passing attack, might not be too successful for them. As similar as these two teams are, I think it's going to be difficult for Dyke New Hartford to kind of have any type of plan B or plan C in the event that plan A, which is their rushing attack, doesn't work. And many haven't worked against West Branch so far this year, with the exception of on Wednesday night against Sigourney.
But I think this is a team we have to give a lot of credit to.
Oh, yeah.
We have to give a lot of respect to, I should say.
Yeah.
No, I looked back at the previous four or five games stat breakdown from Quick Stats, Manfred Dyke, New Hartford. This is a two-quarterback team. All points are leading to this team being a team that uses two different guys to throw a football. Going back to the seventh game of the season, we mentioned they lost to South Winneshe.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, Jacob Moore was 18 out of 31 for 197 yards, flinging it all over the yard that night. I'm sure some of that might have been late in the game when they're trying to catch up from behind. But this is a team that uses two quarterbacks at the Class 1A level. That's just dangerous.
Just in high school in general, it's unique. And it's not something that, you know, I guess in being that it is unique, it's not something that most defenses in the Class 1A level or even in the state get to see much. So I think it can be difficult to prepare for, because you've got guy A who can throw it, might be able to run it, and you've got guy B which probably, I'm guessing, is kind of more of a maybe mobile quarterback. That's typically what you see in a two-quarterback offense. You've got kind of two guys that can complement each other, even though they're not playing at the same time, but they can complement each other in terms of what their skill sets are. So it makes it difficult to prepare going up against a team like that, just because you have to worry about an extra guy at that quote-unquote skilled position.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that most time when you see two quarterbacks, that there's probably a little bit of a run element in there for one of them.
Exactly.
But looking at statistics, not trying to
I understand.
But Connor McCleary, is, we mentioned he was 18 of 36, 316. He was our leading passer in last game, 6 out of 10. He's at 17 carries, 71 yards, only averaged 4.2. Jacob Moore on the season, 10 carries, negative 19. So, but here's the catch. Trent Johnson, we already talked about him, 1,612 yards, nine yards a tote. Preston Wheat is the second leading rusher, 66 carries, 491 yards, 7.4 a carry. Connor Ragsdale, 67 carries, that's one more carry if you're doing math at home, 359 yards, 5.4 yards a carry. And third leading rusher, which probably to me shows they're probably bringing him from his receiver position on a jet or an end around sort of thing, is Connor Nurith, 17 carries, 253, 14.9 yards a carry, longest touchdown, 97 yards. Whew. Now remember that name, Connor Nurith, because he is their leading receiver. 32 receptions, 466 yards, Matt, 14.6 yards a carry, and four touchdowns. Second leading receiver is also the second leading rusher, Preston Wheat, 12 receptions, 236, 19.7. But if you look at the rushing game, Matt, here's something we're really pointing on how these teams are quite similar. Adding up the two the Preston Wheat and Connor Ragsdale, second, third leading rusher, 133 carries. Adding up West Branch's second and third leading rusher,
exactly.
Devin Kindon, 72. Yeah. Lucas Lamont. 61, yep. 133 carries. Yep. Very similar offenses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Devin Kinden kind of plays that utility and secondary role, whereas, you know, he's backup for your running back, but he also goes out for passes a lot. So, and just another example of how I think these two teams are just similar all across the board. But yeah, I think maybe their passing attack is something that they obviously, it's not something that they rely on, much like what West Branch can tend to do in certain parts of the game. So I don't know. I think we're gonna see what their passing attack is about and how good it can be and how far it can carry them, because, you know, as we know, West Branch can stop the run, as I said earlier.
We've said pretty much every
game. Yeah, that's true. And as the Bears have showed every game too, especially if you're trying to go up the middle, you know, I mean, no offense to other teams, but you're just not going to be able to do it.
More on a
yeah, regular basis. Yeah. Yeah. In a consistent manner throughout an entire game and expect to be successful with that. So either they're going to have to try and bounce it outside or throw the ball and see what they can do through the air. And that's, you know, I said this in our last episode on Wednesday, that I'm starting to get nervous now. I haven't really been nervous all season, maybe a little bit in that North Cedar game, but I just haven't been nervous at all. But now I am, because we're obviously going against good teams, and teams that we haven't seen much film on, haven't had any consistency playing them throughout regular seasons. They're not like a normal matchup for us, and it's just a whole different dynamic since it's the playoffs. Getting colder.
Playoffs.
It's November. You know, it's just a different. A different ball game, literally.
He's really trying to say is, when you're in the playoffs, every team is good.
Yeah,
because you have 10 wins and 0 losses, and our team has 2 losses, every team is good. Put that in your head out there, listeners. Every team that West Branch is going to play from here on out is a good football team.
Yeah, and you know, Dyke was 7-2 in the regular season, and their 2 losses were against fantastic teams, as you mentioned. One of them was Southwind, who's the number 2 team in the state, number 2, number 3, depending on what poll you look at.
Well, man, we continue to bring up different guys in West Branch. Just a kind of a fun stat here. I love fun stats. Every episode we talk about some fun stats.
No, you don't.
Well, like this episode, doggone it, we're gonna. if that doesn't sound hick, I don't know what does. Devin Kinden, 439 yards rushing, 503 yards receiving, totaled 942 yards of total offense. Got a feeling he's going to close in and probably cross over that 1,000 yards of total offense mark. Well, his running back counterpart.
And I think he's going to hopefully maybe pass over 2,000.
He has a really good shot of 1,972 yards right now rushing. He is 22 yards shy of that very, very, very old rushing record.
All the way back from my time, you know.
From Matt's senior season. His high school classmate, Cole Kelly, in 2009, had 1,994 yards, and he did that in 13 games. Lennox going to have a little over, well, I got a good feeling.
Let's hope, at least.
That Monday night, if he stays healthy.
Consistency being the key here.
Yeah, if you think of the... Looking at the past with West Branch performance this year, I got a feeling that record's going to fall Monday. But you know what? I think that's going to be a secondary thing.
Yeah. After the game, it'll be great. 1,000
yards. Kinden getting over 2 of total offense. Can Lennox getting over 2,000 yards rushing are secondary to going 1-0 for the 11th time on Monday night, Matt.
Yeah, you know, and those things are going to. We'll worry about those after the game, and I'm sure the players.
What about those after the season?
The player, that too. I mean, I think it would be if Luke does get to that point. I think it would be cool if whoever the announcer is for at the Little Rose Bowl if he did say mention something.
Well, I know during the playoffs that announcers need to be a little bit more close to the vest. So if you were to talk to that announcer, you let him know that I understand that if he's not able to do it.
Hey, Jason. Jason wants to let you know that he understands.
And I appreciate that.
Okay, good.
Because it's really going to help drive my performance on Monday night behind the PA, behind the microphone.
We're counting on
at the historic Little Rose Bowl.
We're counting on a good game.
Yeah. 1,487 is the amount of passing yards Lucas Lamont had. If we're going to talk records, let's bring this one up. Caleb Walters' record, 1,620. So we are just 133 yards shy of seeing that baby fall. But what a neat accomplishment that would be. And he's not done it just throwing it to one guy. He's thrown it to Kendon. He's thrown it to Matt Schauber, 22 receptions, 485. Mason Hayes, big game the other night. Big game Mason steps in the absence of Matt Schauber. Purple Hayes, 15 catches, 209 in the season. 46-yarder the other night for his longest of the season and his second time he's seen the end zone as a receiver for a touchdown on the season. Stick hand Sammy Aspmyer is in double digits now as well, averaging 15.5 yards a carry, 10 catches, 155, and two scores. Nick Westcott, 5 for 110. One score, 22 yards out of catch. If you look down the list really quick, double digits.
I was just going to say that I think our listeners need to get on Twitter and Facebook and get this trending. All right? Yeah. You ready? Everybody pull up your phone and get on Facebook or Twitter or write this down.
Especially you, Dan Hayes. You know you have Twitter.
You got to do hashtag, which is the pound sign or Shift-3 on your keyboard if you're on a computer. I think that's right. Shift-3.
Shift-3. You can look down at your computer. It's right in front of you.
I suppose, yeah.
I know yours is an Apple. I don't know if it has what my PC has. But
no,
that's
it's a little
discussion.
Bit better. But so hashtag stick hands Sammy.
Yep. Let's get it trending nationwide.
We
got to
get it trending. I've tried it on Twitter during the games, and I search for the hashtag. Nobody else is doing it. It's just kind of a fun thing.
Stick hand Sammy hashtag. Hashtag 1-0 every week.
Each week. 1-0 each week.
Next week,
1-0.
We'll get there. Well, maybe hopefully. 2-0. But 1-0,
well,
Monday
next.
Night is the goal. So, Matt, let's tie it up a little bit here before we get into our special segments that we use for each and every episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Powered by Hoot Project. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. But let's just bring it to you live here. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We give our projections each and every week. Mm-hmm. Give our score projections, which we're, you know what? We're going to switch it up. No, we're not. We can't switch it up now.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
You know, and we usually have West Branch winning by a wide margin. Let's just be honest. We do. With the schedule that Bears have played up until now, you know, they're a good football team, and they were that much better than their opponents outside of one, you know, outside of North Cedar on the scoreboard. This has got a completely different feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team that the last time and the only time these two teams have ever played was in the 2010 semifinals at the Unidome. 21-14 the final. Kay Jones, just a sophomore, 12 carries, 162 yards, had two touchdowns, 61-yarder and a 67-yarder. And on the 67-yarder, he accidentally hit his head and, you know, got a little bit of a concussion, wasn't able to get back into the game at full speed. But that was a game that I think a lot of Bear fans are going to remember because, A, it's the only time we've played. B, it was a semifinal game. And C, I don't want to call it revenge, but you have another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different team, a lot.
Totally.
Completely different players.
Yeah, there's nobody.
But it's just one of those games that you think back. I bet Logan Magnolia from 1989 would love another shot at West Branch. And that's been 25 years. It's one of those things, respectfully speaking, nobody's taking Dyke New Hartford for granted.
No, and Monday. Jeez.
Monday,
strange.
Friday. Monday's the new Friday.
Monday's the new Friday, and then Friday we'll be back, hopefully back to regular Fridays. But, you know, this is, like I said, I'm just really nervous about this game because Dyke is a great team, And, you know, as much success as West Branch has had this season with this type of offense, Dyke New Hartford runs a similar type of offense, has similar type of talent on their team. And so it's, I think it's, we're really going to be comparing oranges and oranges or apples to apples in this kind of game rather than, you know, the apples to oranges as we've seen most of the season. So I, yeah, like you said, this really has a different feeling to it. And this is where it really gets serious, and West Branch and the players are really just going to have to buckle down and know that that this could potentially be their last game.
Yep. You know? Because literally you're playing every game. You always hear coaches say, play every game like it's your last.
Well, this one
for one
could
team,
be.
It's going to be their last game of this year.
Yeah.
And for the seniors, it will be. If a senior, when you lose, this is your last game as a senior high school football.
And I know these seniors don't want to go out this early. You know, obviously they want to go out on November 21st, but you know, you've got to win November 3rd, 1st, 3rd.
Third. You know what they need to win? They need to RKO out of nowhere. RKO out of nowhere. At any rate.
Randy Orton. Out of nowhere.
The Viper. We need to put something together, but at any rate. Showtime Shaver out of nowhere. On a quarterback sack. Now that would be something because we don't usually blitz the corner. So, not trying to give away trade secrets, but Don Betts, the head coach at Dyke New Hartford, you know, I mentioned the game 4 years ago before huddle. We had to drive and meet one another halfway, met him at a truck stop, big gas station, just north of at the Center Point exit, I think, just north of Cedar Rapids at about 6 in the morning. Because you only had, again, that turnaround time was just, it's minimal. And was a very nice guy. He sat and talked for 15, 20 minutes. Is there anything I can let you know? Is there anything you want? Anything I can help you with? In fact, this week on Huddle, they did the film exchange with us. And I set that up for the team, not to pat myself on the back. It's no big deal, but... film exchange. Yeah, thanks, buddy. You're welcome.
You did a great job.
Thanks. Yeah, we got the film. And there was a game, week 9, as you well know, got a little foggy. It was a little foggy in times around Eastern Iowa.
I think the whole half of the state was foggy.
Yeah. Well, their game on film got foggy. And, you know, when you saw the preview clips on Huddle, yeah, there were 4 of them, and it went from bad to worse to... Well, this is going to be horrible grammar. Worser and worsest.
Worstest.
Worstest one ever.
The worstest worst.
Again, if that doesn't sound hick, I don't know what does. But the note that he sent for the coaches, he left his number, which I'm not going to give to you, to anybody out there.
5-6-3-5-5-5-1-2-3-4. 8-6-7.
Yeah,
5-3-0-9. That was his wife's number.
And he said, hey, I realize that the film is bad. If you need anything, call me. I will give you anything, help you guys out any way I can. He's a good coach. He's from the old school. They had a very popular coach before him. He was an assistant for 11 years when he took over he's taken over the program, and he's just carried on to what they were doing, taking it to new heights. But the point being, he's a really good coach, and he's a really good guy. But I'm sure he wants to beat West Branch as much as West Branch wants to beat Dyke New Hartford. Mm-hmm. But he's a good coach, and we certainly wish them the best, and I know they're going to bring their best, and they're going to be a clean football team on the field on Monday night. It's going to be a battle between two very good teams, Matt, and we're going to get to discuss it on, well, hopefully Tuesday when it's all said and done, or maybe Monday again.
Who knows?
Worked out we had episode 12A. I would love to have a 13A, but this is 12B, and let's stick with this one right now. Pick-to-click time, Matt. It's pick-to-click time, sponsored by Red Buffalo Tree Service. New sponsor.
Well, some that we had last week
for
the Sigourney-Kyoto game, Mike Westcott wrote in again. His pick-to-click this week, he kind of went outside the rule book here.
Did he say Luke Lenock?
We'll let it slide just because he's new.
Yeah.
He'll learn the rules here.
I don't get it. I mean, you think when you're moving into a town, you would follow the rules so you won't step on anybody's toes and get in their way because you want to follow in their footsteps.
Ignorance to the rules is not an excuse.
Understandable.
You just got to know them.
Yeah.
But we'll let it slide this time, Mike.
What was his? Who was his pick? Was it Luke Lenock?
He had a tackle twofer in Jacob Giese and John St. John. He says they will stuff up the middle on defense, six tackles for loss, and blow up some big holes on offense, which they didn't.
They did that.
And his prediction on the final score, 42-14. So
wow, close. He was right there.
He's close.
At least he didn't say 102-6 Don Bosco.
Give another 7 points to each team. Let's see, who else? I think that's it.
Okay.
We had one.
T-shirts. You know what? Some other people sent texts. I know Toby Grovener texts. He sent his text in. You know, there are many ways to get to the destination.
But that number we're not giving out.
Yeah, we're not giving. Well, you know what? He's a good dude.
Well, they could email the Dyke New Hartford coach. 48-10. 555-5555.
48-10 was his final. So he's a little closer. And his pick to click, Drew Finnegan. You know, that was there.
I think we're going to have to give a tie to these two.
Yep, tie to these two. No T-shirts, though.
No T-shirts.
No giving away a T-shirt.
Only
but Matt,
two? We need 10 times that amount.
10-0 versus 8-2 at the Little Roll Historic Little Rose Bowl on Monday night. Pick to click. Who you got?
Showtime. Matt Shaver. Showtime. Coming, Matt Shaver. Coming back in a big way.
It's like Willis Reed. It's like Willis Reed and the Knicks coming out of the...
I think we have agreed upon that Luke and Devin and Lucas are just...
Yeah, they're... Well, they're the main... They're the guys that touch the ball.
There. Right, and that's understandable.
So you throw them out.
Yeah,
so not that's like literally, but sorry, fellas. Yeah. You got your due. So, Showtime Shaver. Mm-hmm. Your pick to click. My pick to click, Austin Black. Because if you're going to stop a good running back getting off the edge, you're going to need a corner to shrug off the receiver blocker, that tight end coming out, or that pulling tack or guard coming out off the edge. You're going to need to maneuver your way around and, or shuck them off. Yeah. And also, he's probably going to be seeing a little bit of aerial tack come his way.
Yeah,
and he's going to need to make a play.
And he's not afraid to make a play, afraid to tackle a guy. You know, you see a lot of these corners in college and NFL. They're just kind of afraid to make a tackle in open field. But Austin Black is just a big, strong, physical kid, and he's fast.
He's worked hard in the weight room to get to where he is.
And he's not afraid to go up and tackle a guy, whether it's a big fullback or a big tight end, or whether it be a smaller framed running back. You know, he's not afraid to come up and make that tackle. So I think that's a good pick.
35-20. Just throwing it out, getting it over with.
Hmm.
West Branch, 35-20.
Okay.
42
I'm gonna
was the
say,
first number, but I went 35.
I'm going to say, I think Devin Kenden's going to get on the board with a field goal.
In the rain, no less.
Yes.
Projected to be rain. So, in other words, it's going to be sunny and about 80 at kickoff.
That'd be nice. That's
even
Iowa.
Though it's fall back time, the sun's going to shine at 7 p.m.
Is that Sunday that we fall back?
We fall back, so okay. Bear fans get an extra hour of sleep. Ooh. On Sunday night. Well, actually, early Monday morning.
Early Monday morning.
On game day, perfect. The Bears, the kids get an extra hour of sleep.
But that makes... But then we have to wait an extra hour for that game to come.
No. All you do is take a little bit of melatonin. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
What is that? I don't even want to know. My score, 38.
38-28.
West Branch.
Sorry. Bears. Yeah. So you've heard his pick to click, my pick to click, my score, his score. Again, we want to hear yours. You've got a lot of different ways to get a hold of us. If you have my number, which we're not going to give you, you can text me. If you have an email address, my personal email address or Matt's, you can email us or use contact@westbranchfootball.com. Or if you had clicked on the website, westbranchfootball.com page, that's going to have this episode on there highlighted. At the bottom of that page, there's a comment space. Correct, Matt?
Yeah,
that
is correct.
Dan Hayes has been known to use that space.
He really abuses
Greg
that
Norfleet
comment space.
Has been known. Yes. Yeah, he has. And I'm sure I'm going to hear about the Luke and Luke thing.
I sent him a text yesterday.
I actually talked with Luke Lennox's mom last night because we both work at the same place. And said, I apologize to her. I said, it'd been 3 or 4 games. And she goes... It confuses us sometimes too, so don't sweat it. But it was right. One time, like Justin Bieber.
Right.
We're not gonna sing it, Because Dan loves our singing.
But you do pronounce it, when you do say it, you do pronounce it correctly.
Luke Lenock is the name.
Yep.
Not Lenoch, not Lunique, not Lennock.
I think
Lenock.
Everybody that I've heard on, whether it be Press Citizen, like they do their little videos before games. KWQC did a video, and they mentioned us, and they said Lennock. I don't know. It's just kind of fun.
That is weird.
I know.
I think
it's just the whole Lennock and Selick.
Yeah, it is. You know, and we're not giving them any advertising. Well, no. But if you guys want to be a sponsor, let us know.
Contact us. We might be able to change the name. No,
I don't think mom and dad would like that.
No.
But we've got those down. So at the bottom of the page, again, you can leave a comment. You can leave a comment at WB Bears Football on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There is a Facebook, West Branch Football Facebook page. You can leave a comment there. Mm-hmm. You can send me an email at SID@WestBranchFootball.com.
Yep.
So many ways to get a hold of us, Matt. Or follow it, write it on a piece of paper and give it to us before the game on Monday night.
If you see us, just 20 of let you. Us know.
It's all it takes. We will make the t-shirts at sort of our expense. Because we want these t-shirts for our sick. And you don't want to get them. People, where'd you get that t-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Don't mention it. We'll let you know when you send in your score.
If you listen to Talking Bear Football podcast on WestBranchFootball.com, you'd know.
That's right. If you were listening to that, you would know.
Yep.
Well, Matt, it's going to be a fun night. It's the first time the Bears have seen the second round of the playoffs since
2011, really.
Was it 12?
12, yeah. 12 was Regina.
27-9
Yeah.
Loss at Regina.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yep.
Second time. First episode of the season, and now 12B. You got me, boss. You got me. I was thinking 11 because of the four consecutive semifinal appearances.
Nope.
But 27-9, yeah, the loss to Regina was the last time the Bears got at least to the third round. In the second round that year, the Bears defeated who?
Oh, man. Hold on here.
The best news of the day. Take your time.
Best news of the day.
Best news of the day is we got quick stats. Oh. You can look that
or
stuff
WestBranchFootball.
Up.
Or WestBranchFootball.com. It would have it right there.
It would have it right there.
Huh. North Cedar.
I know the team, but I don't know the score.
Was it North Cedar?
Mm-mm. Try again.
Was that first round?
The first round was... actually, you know what? The Bears in 2012 made it to the second round because it was only 16 teams then. Or no, it was 32 then, because the Bears were the third seed. That was the first year. So the funny part is the Bears were the third seed. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. The Bears beat Clayton Ridge in the first round Clayton Ridge
when
the
field
was somehow wet when it hadn't rained for 2 months.
I remember that.
33-0, I believe, was the final.
Yeah, I remember that game.
But then the Bears got to the second round and lost to Regina at Regina 27-9.
Yeah.
Less than the Bears won a first round game was in 2011.
Second round.
Was a second round game, yeah. First round game, well, this year. But second round game, the last time they won was in 2011. Might have been against, was it Wapsie Valley?
Check WestBranchFootball.com.
Check on WestBranchFootball.com for all your football needs. It wasn't Albernette because that was the third game. No, it was Turkey Valley.
Ooh, okay.
It was a valley of Turkey.
We went there.
Up there in Ontario.
Up there in Turkey
Canada,
Valley.
27-20, one of the best games I've ever watched in my entire life, that included West Branch. Really was. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
I just don't remember that. I know I was there.
Yeah.
I just don't remember it.
Well, we can refresh your memory. I can tell you who'd have been the pick to click that night would have been Brandon Young. He was the MVP running the ball and threw the ball. Jesse Lumpa had just got a cast off, had broken his wrist or hand, and had a brace on, and he was a deep threat. Kid was quick. He's probably as fast if not faster than anybody on the team.
Yep.
And he had one catch that night. It was a 40-yard touchdown pass from Young. But Cade Jones that night was 20 carries, 167. Brandon Young is a quarterback position. When the Bears were down 20-19 and went in for the winning touchdown and then the winning, you know, added a 2-point conversion, 80 yards of total offense. Brandon Young had his part in all 80 yards, rushing and passing.
Yeah.
He had 13 carries for 122 yards that night and also had 54 yards passing, so 176 yards of total offense. Bo Bauer had 2 touchdown rushes that night, but one of my favorite games. Well, back to Monday night. We're just a couple minutes away from closing this one up, Matt. What things do you have to add to what you've already said or some thoughts that you want to give the fans as they prepare for battle from the stands on Monday night?
You know, I've mentioned I'm nervous, but at the same time, I am excited for this team and the, I guess specifically the players, to really showcase their talents against a very, very good team. And I think, you know, there could be some, you know, journalists and media around the state that have said, well, okay, you look at West Branch, yeah, they're 10-0. Who have they played? You know, that kind of thing. And that's the same thing for a lot of teams, you know. And the playoffs is really where you see what those teams are made of. Sure, they could be 9-0 in a season and lose their first round playoff game just because, you know, they didn't have any quality opponents that gave them a great test during the season. And that's not to say West Branch didn't, because, you know, we had some quality games that the Bears, you know, they had to fight to win, and, you know, they did, obviously. But like I said, the playoffs is really where you see whether those good teams are great teams. And I think with the West Branch victory, hopefully a victory Monday night, we will see that they are not just a good team, but a great team.
Well, I like what you're saying there. But
Thank you.
I'm going to say one thing on, you said, and hopefully a victory. You know, this is westbranchfootball.com. Again, Dyke New Hartford is a very good football program. And I have a lot of respect for that team, and I've already chronicled the respect I have for their coach as well. But this is westbranchfootball.com. There are goals. We set goals.
I know.
No, you don't know where I'm going with this. Let me finish.
Okay.
All right. So we have, every team has goals. Obviously, goals of grandeur. You know, every team would love to win a state title, but only one out of 56 in each class gets that chance. Well, unless you're eight man, there's like 17,000, and in four, whatever. But westbranchfootball.com, West Branch Football, we have expectations. And our expectation is to protect this house. Protect the little historic little Rose Bowl.
Whose house?
Our house. Protect our house on Monday night at home. Everybody's healthy. If everybody remains healthy and this game goes as planned for both ball clubs, West Branch is going to be 11 wins and 0 losses and move on to Friday night. At the Little Rose Bowl again. The historic Little Rose Bowl on Friday night. At Olphin Street Field. Again, no disrespect to that program. And hypothetically speaking, the Bears lose. Again, no disrespect. Hats off to a really, really good football team. This is the first team on the schedule, Matt, that I will admit I'm a little nervous about. Mm-hmm. But if you're not nervous, then you shouldn't be there on Monday night.
Exactly.
Nervous is not in the fact of that the Bears could lose, because they can lose every game. Mm-hmm. But nervous of the excitement level of being in November, second round football in the playoffs for the first time in a couple of seasons. Looking back at last season, how that ended to where we are now, the nervous of the anxiety and excitement that's going to come from Monday night's game, Matt, that's where the nerves should come from. And I think that's what you have.
In so many words, yeah.
In so many words.
You know, I'm not a man of words, but...
But I'm not a man of words.
I just say nervous, and that's what I mean.
That's right.
You know?
Yes. And Grizzly Adams did have a beard. So, Matt, another good episode. 12B. We had 12A, 12B. And let's see on Monday night if the Bears win.
Do you want to do one like pregame for 12C?
12C. All right. That's going to be the 12C. We're going to talk with the West Branch Marching Bears and talk about their performance Monday night. I'm just kidding. They've been doing a great job, man.
Yeah.
What a great job. We need to give some shout outs to some people. The band has always been around. Mm-hmm. Each and every game, they're staying to the end. That didn't happen 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
The cheerleaders, great support staff. Great support for the team.
Huge team this year, too.
About 27.
They have a varsity and a JV.
Yeah. 27 proud. Actually, it's like, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that vicinity. I don't know. But great job. Krista Diemer does with that team, and the kids on that squad, the girls, are doing a great job. and we talked. You mentioned the managers. Mm-hmm. What is a football team without their managers? They're just a football team.
Yeah.
That doesn't have managers.
Yeah, you're right.
But last week we talked about Frenchie and his experience as a manager. Well, these kids are living that right now, regardless of whether they're foreign exchange students or just students from that live here. They're living that same dream right now.
Mm-hmm.
Frenchie didn't get to go to the playoffs. These kids get the chance for their second playoff game in one season, and hopefully a third on Friday, Matt. And you know what we're going to do after that game? We'll be talking Bear football.
On WestBranchFootball.com.
Powered by Hoot Project. Take care, everyone.